box, office, refund, box office refund podcast.
Hello and welcome to Box Office Refund Podcast. I'm Nico Bell.
And I'm Ward.
And we review low-rated movies.
And decide if the critics were wrong.
Ward, how you doing?
I'm great.
Okay. Well, it's our B-side episode.
Are you doing great? Are you excited on this B-side episode?
I'm average on this B-side episode. I know. So on our B episode, if you've never heard of B episode, we talk about movies and TV shows that we actually voluntarily watched. I won't say that are necessarily good, because surely we've come across some bad ones, but one that we subject ourselves to, as opposed to me forcing Ward watch. So,
well, I hope that everything I watch is good. Like, I watch it because it seems interesting. I try not to read reviews, because, you know, reviews I don't want to sour me, but I hope what I watch is at least moderate to good.
Hopefully. You would think. Okay. All right. Well, would you like to say what you watched first?
I'd be happy to share that information. I watched Toy Story 4. I watched Season 1, Episode 1 of Years and Years, The Hate U Give, Spider-Man, Homecoming.
Okay. I watched the Netflix show Trinkets, the old-timey horror movie Phantasm. I watched Hush, and I watched the movie Gothica. All right, we have a variety this week.
That sounds familiar.
You watched some new ones, though. I did not. I watched older stuff. So,
well, I watched Toy Story 4. And, yeah, I know, it's one of those things where I've seen all of them. I mean, they've spanned, what, like 20 years? Maybe more than that? Maybe 30 years. I don't know. I think the first one came out in 95, so let's say 25 years. After the third one, I was like, alright, you know, the movie, the franchise, it's run its course. I watched Toy Story 4 because I have a kid, and that's just how these things work. And I thought this movie was better than it had any right to be. I figured at first, when I heard it was announced, oh, it's a lazy sequel. You know, it's Toy Story, they know that they'll make $100 million just by slapping the name on there. But, you know, this didn't feel like that. I thought it was a story that felt like it needed to be told, and it feels like there's a bit of finality to it. I mean, yeah, I'm sure they can probably see what they wanted to, but I thought this was kind of like a nice close to the franchise. I thought there was some great arcs. I like how they dealt with a lot of the characters. The plotting is excellent. It's Pixar at their best. And, of course, the animation's top-notch. Great movie. A lot of fun.
Am I going to cry at this movie? Because a lot of Toy Stories, you know, after the first one, really pull at the heartstrings. And I didn't really want to go to see this movie because I really don't feel like crying at a kid movie again.
Yeah, I mean, there's specifically one part, and it really feels like a bit of a cheat that, you know, like, they geared all that just to kind of make you cry. And I don't like that because it's not really vital to the story, to the plot of the game. I mean, like, I get it. It's not bad, but it does feel like a little bit of emotional manipulation.
All right. Well, I cried watching Trinkets on Netflix, which is a series about a grieving teenager who finds an unexpected connection with two classmates at her new high school when they all land in the same Shoplifters Anonymous group. So it's about...
Like, what, that group's in the high school? Like, that's a...
Well, they are... They've all been sentenced to it from judges. They've all been caught shoplifting.
Yeah, so this isn't like a high school program.
No. This is a community shoplifting anonymous group.
Like,
that they
high school has a Shoplifters Anonymous program.
It's like an after-school club.
Okay.
No. It's a coming-of-age story, and it's really cute. Every girl, there's three of the main ones, and they each have their own dramas and problems going on in their homes. So they end up leaning on each other. They're unlikely friends. And what's interesting is that they stay secret friends the entire series. So when they're at school, they secretly talk to each other. They are never really sitting next to each other at lunch. They never talk to each other in the hall. They want their connection to stay kind of pure to the one thing that connects them all, which is this addiction to shopping, which is how they cope with all the terrible things going on in their lives.
How do they secretly talk?
What's that?
How do they secretly talk? Are they passing notes?
Well, like, they might sit one, like, at a table, and the other person's at the table behind them, and then they might talk to each other kind of loudly that way, like how you see on TV shows.
Like spies.
Yes, like spies. There's some, like, adult theme stuff going on. You have one girl who's getting abused by her boyfriend. That's probably the most adult thing, but it is pretty intense stuff. But I binge-watched the entire series. It was very heartwarming. I don't really love young adult-type stuff, but this one kind of got to me. I was invested the whole time. I'm looking forward to another season.
So it's pretty good?
It's very good. Yeah, it's well done.
I saw this, and I was like, I don't know. I mean, because Netflix has done a couple of these, like, teen female pseudo-dramas that I haven't watched. But yeah, usually if I just hear some buzz about, like, okay, maybe I'll check it out. I hadn't heard much buzz about this, and I just figured, is this just another, you know, turn out teen female?
It is a teen female drama. It is, but I think it's well done. It's more authentic. The characters feel more realistic to me. Their struggles feel more real to me instead of very stereotypical surface stuff. They're actually dealing with really heavy stuff. So I enjoyed it more than I would normally a teen drama.
Years and Years, season 1, episode 1. This is a new HBO series. I think it's comes actually with BBC. I don't know if it's from the number of BBCs or BBC in general. And I don't know, like, the long line is, and I watch it because I try to watch everything on HBO. They generally, they have really good quality. But like, the long line is, you know, this family converges on one fateful night in 2019. That doesn't tell you much. I wasn't sure what this is about. As I'm watching this hour long episode, I kept thinking, oh, is this going to be the hook? Is this what the show's about? Is this it? Like, things happen, you keep wondering, like, what is it going to be? Like, what's the thing here? And, like, because you see this politician, I can't remember who he's played by, but, yeah, she's kind of a, I don't mean this in a negative way, but this is just how the show presents her. She's kind of like Trump for England. Like, that type of political person. Like, somebody that, you know, wasn't a career politician, they kind of came at it laterally.
Okay.
Emma Thompson, that's who it is, Emma Thompson. She's a fantastic actor. So I was like, okay, maybe like we're gonna delve into that and how, like, if Trump ruled Britain, what that would be. But then that didn't seem like it was it. So I'm not gonna give away what the hook is, but the hook of the show, which I assume is the hook, happens in the final minute of the first episode. I'm like, well, that's a crazy hook. And it's like the whole episode, I'm just wondering where it's gonna go. The last minute of the episode, definitely I'm gonna tune in the next episode. I wanna see, is that what the show's about? And it seems like it'd be interesting, because it actually, one cool thing is, it talks about Trump quite a bit, and I believe in the final minute, we're in Trump's second term. And so we've progressed in time, and it does some really interesting things about how technology progressed subtly, and I like that about, like, one small tidbit, like, oh, remember that, like, that whole gluten phase where I thought everybody's gluten to gluten? No, they're allergic to high fructose corn syrup. I thought, like, it's a dumb detail, but I was like, that's kind of interesting how technology progresses, like how we view the past and how things change. So I don't know if the show's going to be deep like that throughout. But again, nice hook in the final minute and some interesting little technology tidbits.
Okay. Well, for a non-deep movie, I watched Phantasm, which I have never seen before, but it is a horror classic of a slasher weird movie. It is, the residents of a small town have begun dying under strange circumstances, leading young Mike to investigate. After discovering that the tall man, the town's mortician, is killing and reanimating the dead as misshaped zombies, Mike seeks help from his older brother Jody and local ice cream man Reggie. Working together, they try to lure out and kill the tall man, all the while avoiding his minions and a deadly silver sphere. Honestly, I couldn't have summarized that any better. That's spot on.
Kids, if you need help, find the ice cream man immediately.
It's amazing. You know, it's like a bad horror movie. It's fun. It's bonkers. I haven't seen any of the sequels, but I've told the second one is actually very good. Like, legitimately good. This one is just bananas from start to finish. It's, you know, if you love horror movies, if you love slasher movies and science fiction and terrible movies, then yeah. And if you haven't seen it, you should watch it. It's fun.
Oh, wow. So the writer and director of that was Don Coscarelli. And I'm just looking at his profile. He's done John Dies the End, which is a pretty neat movie. I mean, the score is given to you in the
title. Yeah.
Title, which, yeah, they have some fun with that. But he also did Bubba Hotep. And Bubba Hotep is not a very well-known movie, but it is a very awesome movie. In this movie, Elvis is alive in a nursing home. JFK, he didn't actually die. His soul was transferred to an elderly black man. It's crazy, right?
Okay.
And in this nursing home, a mummy is sucking the souls out of the patients. the movie is a blast. I mean, like, it is, and it stars Bruce Campbell, and I'm a big fan of Bruce Campbell. This movie is crazy, and it's awesome, and I always recommend it, because it's just, it's out there.
Well, this one is out there, too, so I would recommend it as well. All right.
The Hate U Give. So, basically, the main character, Star, she witnesses the fatal shooting of her childhood friend by a police officer. So, yeah, there's a lot going on. People that want her to try to make a difference, people that don't want her to talk because, you know, her best friend, he was killed. He was not at fault at all. But, you know, he was also involved in some, you know, involved with a drug dealer. So, you know, the drug dealer doesn't want her to talk just because of what she may say. But, you know, like, so there's just a lot going on. But man, it's a heavy topic. And the movie is very good. I thought it did a great job of kind of showing, I don't know if I want to see all sides of the conflict, but a lot of the sides of the conflict about the different feelings people have. This movie's not entertaining. It's like, oh man, I want to see a fun movie where I'm going to be entertained and have a nice time. No, this movie's not it. It is here to make a point. It's a very powerful point. And I thought the main actress, I believe it's Amanda Stenberg, she does a great job as Star. There's a lot of nuance to the movie, a lot going on. And, I mean, honestly, it's about racial relations, white and Black Lives Matter and Blue Lives Matter. And, you know, I think some white people watch this movie and say, oh, you know, they treat white people as ignorant and they treat white people as, you know, not really grasping the situation. But the fact is, white people just can't grasp the situation from Star's vantage point from being a black girl, you know, living in a poor neighborhood. Yeah. And so, I think the movie's fair to present white people like that because there are a lot of white people that are like that. But I also feel like this is a movie that's kind of preaching to the choir. People that are going to watch it are the people that kind of get it already. But it's a neat movie. I thought they did a really great job of, like, showing that, oh, you know, is it all white cops are bad? No. Star's uncle, he's a cop, he's black, and he even tells that, you know, if I pull over a black person, I'm quick to pull my gun. So I thought it just does a great job trying to cover all that nuance and, you know, analyze the situation on all sides.
Sure. All right. I watched Hush. Have you seen this movie? It's like it's a horror movie. It's about
the girl's deaf,
yes,
right?
Yes.
I thought I recognized that name. I have seen that.
A deaf writer who retreated into the woods to live a solitary life must fight for her life in silence when a mass killer appears in her window. I've been putting off this movie for a long time, and I'm sure I've said this on the podcast before, but the scariest movie I ever saw was Halloween, and I still hold to it that that's the scariest movie of all time, because it's just a man in a mask stalking people. And so, I mean, this is what this is, a man in a mask stalking. So I put it off for a while, but I'm really glad I watched it. Like, if you like these type of movies, this is a really good one. The fact that she's deaf plays such an interesting twist to a trope that's been done a million times before. And for her to find her power and her, you know, her voice, so to speak, and to fight back, it was really, really well done. I actually really liked this one. And it did really well. I got 92% on Rotten Tomatoes. It was in my underrated gems heading in Netflix or something like that. So I checked it out. That was good.
Well, it's funny because I actually am not a fan of this movie. I thought like the mood, it's directed by Mike Flanagan, written by him. I thought he created a really great mood, great tension, but I had a lot of issues with the logic of this movie because the logic doesn't fly. And I mean, the bad thing is this movie doesn't rely on jump scares, but I had a big problem with just how it treats reality and how it's kind of like, oh, we're gonna cheat reality because it's gonna make this scene cool if we have some tension. I think I can't remember what Flanagan's done. He's done some other stuff. Did he do The Haunting of Hill House?
If he has, I have not seen it, so I don't know.
I don't know. I thought this, like, he showed a lot of potential, but it's just, man, there's just, the logic in this does not work. He did do The Haunting of Hill House. Okay, so this is what I'll say. Hush kind of shows that he has promise and potential. Haunting of Hill House is the full realization of that potential. Haunting of Hill House is phenomenal.
Yeah.
But I did not like Hush. Just, the logic wasn't there.
Okay. Fair enough.
But again, like, the mood he creates, you can tell he's great at it in Hush, and it comes with full fruition Haunting of Hill House. So instead of watching Hush, watch Haunting
okay,
of Hill
fair
House.
Enough.
And the Haunting of Hill House is actually, it's an anthology, and they're gearing up for season 2. They just announced the lead actress is going to be, I think, Cory Progetti's new sequel is one of the characters in the first season, but it's in the doggy. So check out in the house. Two that comes out later this year. Later.
Okay. All right. What else did you watch?
I watched Spider-Man Homecoming. Now, Spider-Man Far From Home is coming out in the next month. And I don't know, I mean, I've watched a lot of the Spider-Man movies. And I watched the one in 2002 that kind of launched comic book superhero movies and made them a viable venture. Because before that, they were not a viable venture. I mean, they failed. Part of that was studios didn't spend enough to make them a legit movie. They thought you could focus on them alone. I've watched one of the Andrew Garfield Spider-Mans. I saw Tom Holland as Spider-Man first in Captain America Civil War. I thought, you know, he kind of did a nice job with that. Kind of this teen kid, had the energy, the awkwardness. You know, it just felt a little more realistic, like 30-year-old Tobey Maguire playing Spider-Man.
Yeah.
I've seen him, I think he was in one of the other Marvel Avengers things. I had not seen his Spider-Man movie, so I wanted to check it out. I thought this was a pretty good Spider-Man movie. I like that, you know, some other superhero movies need to take note. You don't have to tell the origin every single time. If we've seen it in four other movies, maybe you can skip over it because we got it. So they completely skip over it. I love that Tony Stark plays like Uncle Iron Man in this, and Peter's kind of trying to get his approval. Also just wants to be an Avenger, but he's always saying, you know, you're 15 years old, man. You're just not ready for this. I thought that was a nice aspect of it. Michael Keaton plays the bad guy. One good thing about that is it's Michael Keaton being the bad guy. One bad thing is they don't really let Michael Keaton act or do a lot. And it's a character that could have a lot of nuance, like a lot of just story. But they just basically use him as kind of a typical, prototypical villain. Not a bad movie. I mean, I'd put it probably towards the middle to upper half of superhero movies. That's not saying a whole lot because there's a lot of bad ones. But I thought it was enjoyable. You know, if Far From Home coming out, I just wanted to kind of catch up and see. The absolute greatest part of these new Spider-Mans is Tom Holland. He is phenomenal. Like, he was born to play that role.
All right. I'll never see it because I'm tired of superhero movies.
That's the thing. Like, this one, there's nothing that makes it stand out where I say, oh, yeah, man, you've got to see this. Like, it doesn't stand out. The field is heavy and crowded. Yep. And this is neat, but it doesn't stand out.
All right. I watched Gothica 2003, crime thriller. The Life of Psychiatrist.
Is that with Halle Berry?
What's that?
Halle Berry?
Yeah, Halle Berry, Robert Downey Jr. The Life of Psychiatrist Miranda Gray is derailed after she nearly hits a girl with her car one night. Later, Miranda wakes up in her own mental hospital under the care of her peer, Pete Graham, who is Robert Downey Jr. Completely disoriented, Miranda is accused of killing her own husband, but has no memory of anything after she encountered the girl. Slowly, Miranda begins to uncover what happened, but she has to escape the asylum to solve the puzzle. All right. Asylum horror, for whatever reason, is very intriguing to me. And I think I literally just put that into Netflix and this one came up. And I don't think I've ever seen it before. I think this was my first viewing. I didn't recognize it. It wasn't great. It was very predictable from start to finish. And that's always disappointing in horror movies. Halle Berry was fine, though. She's a great actress. I think she could really act in anything. And I love Robert Downey Jr. Like, he's always a bit, like, suave and comedic in that boyish way, and that's what he's doing here too. So, you know, I love the two leads. I still wouldn't watch it. The twist is just kind of ridiculous and predictable and silly. And
I was gonna say, this movie just seems like one that has a huge twist.
It does have a huge twist on the end, but it's like really, like, they took it too far to the point where it wasn't, like, believable for the characters, and it was just weird and awkward. Like, they tried too hard to shock us, and it just didn't work out very well. It didn't do very well.
I've seen this movie. I don't remember, like, it's been 15 years, so I cannot tell you a single thing that happened. Like, I knew Halle Berry's in it. That was all I knew about this movie, so I have to look up that twist.
Yeah. Penelope Cruz, I believe that's the other one, she's in it too. Like, it has a really good cast. But the script just, like, I don't know why they all signed on for it, because the script really isn't that great. But, you know, that's okay. Sometimes they do well and sometimes they fail, and this one was a fail, so. Oh, well. Do you have any more movies, or was that it for you?
That was it for me.
All right, awesome. All right, do you want to promote anything like that before we head out?
Not on promotion food.
All right. Well, you can follow us at Box Office Refund on Twitter and Instagram, or check out boxofficerefund.com, which is our website. Wouldn't that be nice for you to go visit? All right, guys.
Yeah, it's an awesome website. I go to it every day, and I love it. Start my day with boxofficerefund.com.
All right. Thanks, guys. We'll talk to you next week. Bye.
Box Office Refund. Box Office Refund Podcast.